Hello, sacred beings, and welcome to another episode of Sacred Sister Podcast. If this is your first time in our humble abode, in our lovely corner of the ether of the interwebs, welcome. At Sacred Sister Podcast, you are getting deepened dialogue with conscious entrepreneurs who are spearheading their sacred missions in an effort to normalize the magic and sacralize the mundane of everyday life. I'm your host, Britt Lynn. I am an energetic cartographer and personal transformation coach, helping people to map and transform their inner self landscape. And I co-host this with Hannah Lena Christensen. She's an astrologer, an astral travel guide, and a rebirth coach. Sacred Sister Podcast is about to have her third birthday on spring equinox of 2022. We are so grateful to have 3 years and hundreds of hours of life-changing transformative content for you to listen to. So if this episode resonates with you, we invite you to take a gander, take an adventure, take a scroll back on the 3 years of content. We assure you that if you enjoyed this episode, there are so many more that have the power to change your life. This episode, we are so excited to bring to you today, sitting with Patricia Lohan. Patricia Lohan is a feng shui expert, life coach, and passionate entrepreneur. We haven't had someone on to Sacred Sister Podcast to speak on feng shui just yet, this ancient sacred practice that allows us to connect with our home and not only the home, the house, but the energy and the environment that surrounds us within the house, the energy and the environment that we curate and that we're able to change up, that we're able to intentionally utilize as a tool for our own manifestation practices. In this episode, what we're really asking is, are you ready to align your mindset and environment? I feel like this episode speaks to me on a really deep and personal level. For a really long time, I've really identified with my Cancer rising nature that says, I love an intentional clutter. Like truly, if you come to my house, every pocket of my house, of my home, is filled with objects that I've picked up through my world travels and as the daughter of the family that I love, love, love so much. I have so many sacred mementos, wedding gifts that my parents gave each other from, you know, the first years that they were married, when they were not making a lot of money in Germany, when my dad was stationed in the Bitburg Air Force Base in Germany, he and my mom couldn't afford gifts very much. And so every year for Christmas, instead of buying each other big gifts, there was this little trinket shop around the Air Force, and they would get each other these little brass like mementos. They even kind of look like Monopoly, like those little pieces, game pieces in Monopoly. They would get each other those. And I can tell you right now, I was so blessed when my mom one year for Christmas gave me half of those mementos and she gave my sister the other half of the like little pieces. So I have like one of those little water vessels that spouts out the water that you would almost see on like the star card in the tarot, a water can, a very miniature tiny globe, this beautiful old-fashioned telephone that you pick up the phone and it looks like the phone from 101 Dalmatians, the like just like vintage looking super old phone. I love decorating my house with like old pieces of my past, but the really important part that this episode got stirring for me was, how intentionally do I decorate my home and what are the areas that I am turning a blind eye at? In this episode, we deepen dialogue on the basic principles in alchemy of feng shui. We talk about feng shui as a mirror to your life. This is where I'm getting into the whole decorative piece because I wonder how many of you sometimes struggle with this too. Sometimes the intentional clutter can be cluttering. It can really look like clutter. And when we have little spots of clutter, sometimes that also means not dusting around that area very much because they're little pieces to lift up. Obviously, this is a piece of my personal life that I'm sharing with you, but I know that I'm not alone in this, and I know how much we can benefit from coming back to the foundations, the fundamentals in our lives, and really checking in with them. Moving on, we talk about how feng shui brings energetic balance to your home, how your home and environment impacts your soul's work. We talk about becoming more conscious and mindful utilizing feng shui. We talk about making space for energy to flow in your home easefully. We also talk about working with and activating what you already have in your home. This isn't about going out and, you know, wiping the slate clean and doing a whole expensive interior design. Not at all. I really think that this episode especially prompts us to self-reflect and prompts us to really bring this education and information into our lived reality. So each and every one of you listening right now, I prompt you to, when you're done listening to this episode or as you're listening to this episode, really scan your home. Do a scan of your home and witness the energy that is flowing or not flowing through your home. For this episode to be of even greater impact, I prompt you to bust out your journal, bust out a pad of paper, a pen, and really ask yourself, what spots, what areas of my home could use some zhuzh, could use some love, could use some intention, could use some attention? You might be surprised at what you find. This episode was recorded a couple weeks ago, and directly after I got done, I rearranged my office in a way that now feels so much more liberating. It feels so much more powerful. It feels so dope. I'm so happy that I did that. I had my desk underneath the window. I think I talk about this in the episode. And in my mind, it was good because I was looking out the window. I could see, you know, whatever out the window, but my back was to the door of my office. And in my mind, I actually didn't like the situation that I was in because in order to see anything in my office, I had to look behind me. And energetically, this is not opening my being to the opportunities that are coming into my life, into my office, into my growing business. And right now I want to relay to you what the magnitude of shifting my desk position really means. Some of you may or may not know that I filed my LLC that actually synchronistically filed on January 3rd, which was my mom's 3-year death day anniversary. So for the next couple minutes, I'm going to share with you how the position of my desk really opened me up to these different offerings that are growing and building in my business. First, we have sidestepping social to sink into self, my free 7-day challenge off social media, which by the way, we're going to surpass 100 beautiful beings who have been served, who have experienced life-changing benefits. Yes, I'll take a moment to talk about this for anyone out there who wants to join round 5, which starts on first quarter moon in Gemini. If you find yourself addicted somewhat to social media, if you find yourself turning to social media, spending a whole lot of time, perhaps in your mind too much time on social media, if you feel like you unconsciously reach for your phone, if you notice yourself filling your time, distracting yourself by clicking on your apps, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, the list goes on and on and on. Consider joining me for Sidestepping Social Round 5, starts on the 10th of March, so less than a week from now. We have experienced life-changing transformation in this free container. It is guided in a way that is very intentional, very community building oriented, and each day I send via email and in the Marco Polo video group chat, I send 2 prompts to self-study, self-experience, and self-connection, activating your sun energy and your moon energy, being able to reflect and share insights, share challenges, share tears, share laughter with the group that's doing it as well has been so beautiful, such a privilege to witness and facilitate. As a result of holding this container, I have experienced members receive blood test results that are negative for chronic autoimmune disease after being diagnosed for over 3.5 years. Yes. Seemingly, this person's chronic autoimmune disease disappeared, quote unquote, but really the healership of this beautiful being was drawn back into their reality, and they began working with themselves on a level that said, I am a healing vessel for my being, for my energy, for my body. PTSD triggers have melted away from self-connection. That group, I also turned on to Dr. Joe Dispenza's transformative work. We've experienced mothers that have been experiencing troubles with fertility, conceive babies. We have experienced mamas who feel that they have lost their individual identity, proclaiming that they feel more seen than they have since high school. Pieces like this bless my heart and soul so much. I have cried so many tears over starting this beautiful 7-day free challenge. If you desire to lean into the 7-day challenge and join us for Sidestepping Social to Sink into Self Round 5, you can DM me your email on Instagram and you'll be added to the signup list for the March edition. So on this Chiron Direct LLC wall, I also have the standings for the book that I'm writing, Hello Self, which is a Phil Audible guidebook to map and transform the inner self landscape through the lens of the chakra system. What I do in that book is breaking down the 7 main energy centers, breaking those 7 energy centers down into 7 themes, and then going into each and every one of the themes and writing 7 self-study questions that help you gain awareness over the relationship that you hold with that aspect of consciousness within your own life. Because when we hold awareness over the relationships that we have within our own selves, we gain the keys, we gain the access to begin shifting. We see limiting thought patterns, we see disempowering narratives, we see beliefs that are not true, that are holding us back. That is the realm that I live in. That is the realm that I help my clients move through. If the idea of this book resonates with you and you want to join the growing list of people who have already pre-ordered Hello Self, it is available for pre-order on my website, brittlynlabeouf.com, right now. So coming back to this episode of Feng Shui, that's what I'm sharing with you. When I wanted to look at the things I was working on in my business, I had to literally turn around and see the stuff that was facing my back. And now I have my desk positioned in a way that I have this beautiful piece of art behind me that Curtis's late father did, and I am looking right at my Chiron Direct, all of my boards. I also have my natal chart for Chiron Direct, so I'm able to look at the energies that my business has flowing within it. I have the cover of my book printed out so as to continue prompting me to show up to writing this book to anyone who has written or endeavored to write their own book. It is a challenging process, and I've been working through a lot of my own limiting beliefs in regard to publishing my own book as well. So this episode was so, so, so impactful. Of course, the shifts and changes, once I had begun experiencing them in my own office, they started trickling out and I started reorganizing. I organized my closet. I've spent 5 hours organizing my garage, listening to a Natalia Benson podcast episode. Oh my gosh. This extended into all areas of my house. Even last night with this new moon in Pisces energy, I put new soil into 6 of my houseplants. I love my little plant beings. They add so much life to my home. So anyways, I have so much confidence that all of you are going to absolutely love this episode. I'm very hopeful that you bring it into your own life. If you do, please be sure to share that with us. Please let us know how this is impacting you. You can do this by leaving a rating and review in the listening app of your choice. Apparently, you're now able to do that on Spotify, which is very exciting for people like us, just to hear the reflections of what it is that Sacred Sister Podcast is blessing your life with. You can also write us on Sacred Sister Podcast on Instagram, send us a DM. We love to keep in touch with you. Thank you so much. Sacred Sister Podcast would not exist at the level that it is without your support. We thank you so much. Please share this episode with anyone that you feel would benefit from its organizing nature. And without much more, if Patricia Lohan's message is speaking to you, we encourage you to connect with her more deeply, going to her website, patricialohan.com, or following her on Instagram at patricialohan_ and at powerhouse.fengshui. And without much more, let's head into Hannah's astrology segment for this episode. Bye, beloved. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome, sacred beings. This is your host, Hannah Lena, and we are here in the Inner Blueprint section for Patricia Lohan. I always love to do these Inner Blueprint readings for our guests because we're going to just look into their archetypes on a really simplified level so that you can start seeing and noticing those archetypes as we are moving through the interview. In that way, astrology becomes more down to earth and you can grasp a concept easier. It's not just an abstract system. I also want to mention that we all have these archetypes within us, but we are all on a different spectrum. And that makes us so unique in our expression. And then additionally to that, we might even have the same inner blueprint to someone else, but then we have our free will on how we choose to express those archetypes. Because an archetype is such a vast concept that within that archetype, it can be expressed in several different ways. And this is the beauty of life. It's this beautiful balance between free will and destiny. And so let's look into the inner blueprint of Patricia Lohan. Patricia is a Sun in Leo, conjunct Mercury, in the seventh house. A Sun in Leo loves to be that bonfire, the beautiful, warm, enthusiastic energy that loves to inspire and motivate others. It's that queen energy that sees oneself as special. And with Patricia in the seventh house, she brings that to other people in her one-on-one relationships. She wants them to know that they are the creators of their own life, that they have the power, and that's in the seventh house, you have harmony and balance. They have the power to create that harmony and balance and that peace in their lives. And then conjunct Mercury, it shows that she is also a teacher, a natural teacher of systems that help with the balance and peace and harmony. So that makes sense. Mercury is also the student, so an ever-growing, always interested, always curious in learning new facets, in learning new ways of how to support others and help their light shine brighter. Her moon is in Scorpio, conjunct Uranus in the 10th house. Super potent here. Moon in Scorpio loves transformation, lives for the rebirth. So with a moon in Scorpio and a sun in Leo, Patricia loves to create a space where others can shine a light more fully and go from that darkness, from that Scorpio darkness, the stress, the overwhelm, the confusion, the stucked up energy, and move towards the light, move towards flow, ease, harmony. Scorpio moon is able to feel subtle energies that other people cannot feel. Scorpio moon is also great in manipulating those energies, shifting them, changing them in a way that it is for the highest good of others and for themselves. With the moon conjunct Uranus, it shows here that in the 10th house, that she is meant to shift common structures. The 10th house rules buildings, literally, but it also rules, you know, systems and structures that have been in place for a long time. And with Uranus coming in here as the rebel, as the disruptor, she's meant to break free from the old way. In her case, maybe the old way of interior design or the old way of how people relate to their building, to their house, to their homes, and start realizing that there is an alternative system to this. There is a system that actually looks into the energies of a home, and there is a science behind that. So Uranus loves the science and loves to see the bigger picture and look at it from above and see, okay, how can I shift those energies to make this place more harmonious and more peaceful for you? And then last but not least, from her holy trinity, Sun, Moon, and Rising, her rising sign is in Capricorn. And as a Capricorn, she is the boss. She's a builder. She's a manager. And Capricorn is not afraid to work hard. Capricorn Rising is really great at creating structures and systems. And her Saturn is actually in Libra that bring more peace and harmony into the world. How beautiful is that? And then it's also in the house of Scorpio, which is about that transformation. And then conjunct Jupiter, it also shows teaching about that system that she has created and the school or the community and people coming together to transform themselves through this ancient system that she modernized to help people transform their lives. So we got the Sun in Leo in the house of Libra, the creator of harmony and peace. We got her Moon in Scorpio in the 10th house, the transformer of structures. And then we have Capricorn Rising, the boss, being of sacred service to help others transform to peace and harmony and teach them how to do that themselves as well. So how beautiful is that? I always love seeing these inner blueprints of our guests and then realize, oh wow, she found a way to really leverage on that blueprint. It's not the only way. Not saying what if you have that inner blueprint, you have to go into feng shui. But in one way or another, if you have a similar blueprint, your task is to create peace and harmony for others. Teach that, how to do that, and in regards to the subtle energies and transforming some stuck-up energy, transforming an old structure that no longer serves. And so in whatever way that may be, that is how you leverage this blueprint. And Patricia, in her lifetime, chose Feng Shui to be that way of how she shines her light and gives that medicine to her people. I'm so excited for you to listen to this episode. If this is something that you're interested in for yourself, an inner blueprint reading, I have a few spots open here in March. So just check out on my website, hannahchristensen.com. Go to inner blueprint reading and use the code SACREDSIS for a special discount for you. All right, and without further ado, let's go into the episode. Take a deep breath in. And enjoy.
Oh, sacred sister, a kindred flame, may we light one another. From the ashes rise. Oh, we rise.
Okay, so we're going to just gently close our eyes, roll our shoulders back, and open up our heart. And feel your connection with the earth. So bring your feet to the earth, to the ground beneath you, and feel your connection with the earth. And feng shui is all about connecting with the five elements. So feel your connection to Mother Earth, Mother Gaia beneath your feet. And then within Mother Earth is the alchemical element of metal. Really, those layers. Feeling the pulse of the earth beneath you and tapping into that connection. And then deeper down, seeing and feeling right down, imagining yourself connecting with right into the heart of Mother Earth, where you can connect with that lava foam, like the fire element. So we're looking at the fire element, connecting with that fire element in our bodies. And then bringing our awareness now to our body. Beneath us, we have these beautiful three elements. And then imagine that we're in the most beautiful place in nature. So your favorite place in nature. And seeing a beautiful body of water, whether it's a stream, a river, a lake, or the ocean, connecting with the water element, the energy of flow. Then as you look around, bring your awareness to the plants and the trees around you, the wood element. All of these elements are integral to our planet, to how everything flows. Each of them so powerful and strong on their own. Now they work in communion to really create our beautiful world that we're on right now. And as you feel yourself connected to all of these elements and in your favorite place in nature, feel the sun beaming down the crown of your head. Feel yourself connecting to the heavenly energies above. And as you allow those energies to flood down, allow divine intelligence, wisdom and knowledge, our higher selves, that loving intelligence that's always guiding us, heavenly energy pouring down into our bodies, feeling so connected and harmonized with all of the elements. And as we are in balance and in harmony with all the elements, we tap into this universal source energy that allows us to flow, come in harmony and in balance within ourselves. Feeling yourself peace and contented, happy and infused with that beautiful light. And dropping into your heart, feeling your heart burst open, that infinite flow of love pouring down from the heavens into your heart. As it expands out of your heart, I want you to feel that beautiful energy pouring into every room that you're in your home. So wherever you're sitting, feeling it expand out of your room and out of your heart into the room you're in right now, into the space that you're in, filling it up with this beautiful loving energy, sending love to your beautiful home, sending it out the door to the next room, into the bedrooms, the kitchens, the living room. Every part of your home is infused with this beautiful loving energy, giving thanks and gratitude for this amazing shelter, this amazing energetic space, your home, your sanctuary that you have. Feeling just gratitude for your home, bringing a smile to your face, a smile to your heart, and a smile to your home. And just coming back into your body, back into your breath, connected with all the five elements, Mother Earth, Father Sky, and our physical environment. Taking a nice deep breath in and gently blinking your eyes open with a smile on your face. and back into the space.
Thank you so much. That was so beautiful. So beautiful.
You're welcome.
I love how you brought in the home, because that's what we're really going to be talking about, that beautiful sanctuary, and how it's makes such a big difference in where we live and how our surroundings look like in the way that we manifest in our lives as well. So welcome so much. Big, big welcome to you, Patricia Lohan, to Sacred Sister Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm absolutely delighted to be here and to share with you, because, I feel like people who are connected to the energy of feng shui are, you know, sacred sisters. This is a very sacred ancient practice that we are getting an opportunity to really remember and connect with our home, our environment that we are surrounded by so much of our day.
Absolutely. And I'm really curious, as someone who is so green to the practice, are you able to give myself and any audience members who are in a similar space an idea of where this ancient practice comes from? Is it Chinese? Is it Japanese? Like, what are the basic principles of this practice?
So I feel like anybody who's coming in green, it's just such an exciting time, especially if you've been, if you're on a growth and evolution journey of connecting with your soul. Now your soul is asking for you to really start to have fresh eyes and look around your home and see how it is impacting and how it can support you even more in flourishing and supporting your soul's work. So feng shui is an ancient practice. It's over 5,000 years old. And I actually came across it when I was about 15. And we'd moved house many times. And when we moved into this one particular house, it was a really tricky energy. Lots of things started to just not flow the way that we had experienced it in the past. And a lot of people ask me, we think it's about how the house looks. We think that feng shui is about how your house looks, where the furniture is, and that it's not set up right, the flow isn't flowing right. When I hear somebody talking about their lives, that's usually, and when I hear what's going on in their lives, I'm like, okay. So if they're stuck, they're struggling, things are not working, I'm like, there's no flow there. And there's definitely some feng shui off. So typically people are like, how do you know your house is bad feng shui? And I'm like, well, look at your life, because it is literally a mirror. Have a quick look at what's going on. Feng shui is, as I said, an ancient practice. And, you know, when houses were originally built by people thousands of years ago, they stood outside and looked around nature and they said, well, I'm not going to put it at the top of a mountain because that's going to be a bit windy, a bit dangerous. I'm not going to put it on a flood plain. That could be a bit dangerous. I'm going to really look at where the sun sets. How am I going to have and use the land and nature around me to support it? So it was a very well thought, it was a thought out practice. And as it has evolved, what I feel feng shui is that it's acupuncture for your home. So in this journey of growing and having amazing spiritual growth, we are all about raising our vibration, raising our consciousness, becoming more in alignment with our soul's purpose, with what we're here meant to do. And that is very powerful. And this is my favorite things to do, is that, like, raising our energy, being in our most aligned place. But what I discovered was that as I was on that path and I quit my job, moved to India, had a mad spiritual awakening in India, and I came back and I was living from my heart and I was doing my passion. And then I was like, but why is it not really flowing? Why is things not really working? Why is it not, like, growing, you know? So I was like, what is going on? This is not working. So there's like a crazy tug of war. And of course, when the student's ready teacher appears, and several feng shui masters arrived in Ireland, and I was like, this is it. You know, my house is not, their energy in my house hasn't changed. It is literally a very dense energy. So if we think about, like, everything has energy, everything has a frequency, so does our home. And the house itself, your home, is very dense. So, like, we're much lighter. Our energy can rise up. We know how to connect. But our house doesn't know how to change, doesn't know how to shift. And essentially what we're doing, just like what I did in the meditation, is that when we bring a home into energetic balance, the hidden energy, and that's one of the things that's a lot of misconceptions about feng shui, is that, oh, it's like I'll, you know, change the couch or change the paint. And I'm like, no, aesthetic stuff isn't what we're really working with. We're working with the invisible energy. And when we change that and we tap it into nature using the five elements, so it's very much connected to the Chinese five element theory, and kind of that tapping into universal source energy. So your house becomes like a lighthouse. It's connected to source. It's in alignment. So you become in alignment. So it's like the feng shui supports, it's alchemy. Like it really supports the growth. It supports the flourishing. It supports this raising of your vibration. It supports that. So that's what I witness and see with my clients all the time, is that they're ready for a change. They're ready for an up level. And sometimes we think the up level has to come from going within, but actually when they come across me, I'm like, you've done the in work is done. Now it's like, let's look at where are you spending your time? What's happening in your home? Mm-hmm. So that's my take on it and how I've seen it flow and help people. Because it is really a tool for raising your consciousness.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. And it's like, it makes so much sense in astrology when you look into the moon and our emotions, our inner feelings. It also rules the house. It rules the home. Mm-hmm. It rules our environment. Like it's part of the way that we feel is where are we, what physical objects are we surrounded by, and what is the energy that flows within those objects, and how does it flow through the house? Love it so much. Thank you for sharing all of that. My very first time that I got in contact with feng shui was in 2015, mm-hmm. when my husband and I got our first home together. And I was thinking, I want to have something deeper in how I am going to arrange and decorate the home. And I was just looking for like a deeper practice in that. And that's when I got into feng shui and I really looked it up and, you know, mapped out my baguas of the house and looked, okay, that's the money corner. This is relationship. This is for health. And just placed different objects into different areas. And, you know, the way that it can flow through the home, that the chi, the energy. And then, you know, we moved into this house that we're in now. And I never felt like, in the beginning, I was like all into it. And then at some point, I just felt like I want to move. I just want to leave the house. And then we were thinking of, you know, going to Costa Rica, because ultimately we want to buy land there and have a home there. But I was like, I got to this point where I was like 1 foot out of the house and one mm-hmm. foot in, and we're just renting this home. And that's when I realized, when my one of my sacred sisters, Choti Devpram, came over, and she was saying like she would really love to help me with creating a sacred sanctuary within my home now, where I don't feel like I want to move. I don't feel like I need to have that move right now, but I can already embody that frequency in myself mm-hmm. and then manifest a move ultimately. And so she was the one that, while I was pregnant, she helped me like redesign and rearrange and just create a beautiful sanctuary and really invest into my home, mm-hmm. which we didn't do before. We just kind of got, you know, random things that we liked, but we never actually looked at our home and be like, let's like intentionally bring in a mirror here and some wood objects here and some earth pottery here, you know? So we never really put that so much intention into the home decoration process. And when we did, it just flows so much freer. And I don't have this feel that I need to move right now. I know that it's in the horizon, but I actually feel at home. And at the same time, I want to really say that to everybody who is renting as well, because I feel like that's what I realized, that subconsciously I literally had like 1 foot out and I wasn't fully grounded in my home, because I felt like, okay, we're not owning this home. We're renting, so we might be moving. And,
yeah.
But before Choti Devpram started the whole sanctuary creation, she said, let's connect with the spirit of your home and really talk to her and really feel into that. And that brought tears into my eyes because I realized how much I've treated her as just kind of like, I'm going to be moving out soon and I'm not even going to ground myself fully into this place, you know? And then when I started committing to her and I'm like, yes, let's do this, and invested into, you know, new ways of decorating the house, the energy flows so much more beautiful. And that was actually the month where my business flourished the highest too. That was last year in August. It was like my best month. And it just shows how much it can change throughout just doing little things like that.
Yeah, totally. And like, you just shared so much here that I'm like, oh, I don't know what to talk about. There's so many parts. First, just in terms of people maybe like, what's a bagua? Like, what is that? Especially if there's people new. And the bagua is basically a map that we create when we work with our clients to map the different parts of your home. So one of my favorite things about feng shui is that it's very all encompassing. Like sometimes we're like, oh, I need to focus on money, or I need to focus on this, but actually for me, it's like, so every part of your life is covered when it comes to feng shui, because we're looking at your health area, your career area, your fame area, your relationship area. And this is what I love when I hear my clients. They're like, I heard the kids bickering again. So I went off and I just checked what was going on. You know, they did a little like, because we literally use our home to like talk back to us once we've started working with the energy of it. And there are different schools of feng shui. So the school that I practice and teach is classical flying stars, which means that every home is actually, we take it as a unique entity. So we don't use it. There's a generic one from the Western style that you stand at the front door and it's over to the left corner. I actually don't really know it. And we have a lot of clients who come into our world who've been practicing that for a while. And they're like, I kind of got some things happened, but it hasn't actually like literally just everything on blow. Because if we just revert back to the idea that feng shui is acupuncture for your home, and I like to see those areas almost like organs, you know, every organ has a job and every area of your home basically has a job. And if it's in flow and all of them are working happily, we're all functioning fine. So that's a really big part of it, is that like each area has a kind of like its own kind of job. And we don't, until we don't know that. And we're like, wow, I didn't even realize, you know, that area, that cupboard was like literally blocking what something in your life. Like, so I'm just thinking of one of my clients who, in her bedroom, all the cupboards were totally jam-packed, and she cleared out like an old wedding dress, and she was single. It was just like divorced or whatever. The wedding dress was in the cupboard, and I was like, she got rid of it, and literally a few days later met her new partner. She's like, I just like had this thing in my space. And, you know, we just don't realize, it's just been there. You kind of forget. And what I like to think about with the feng shui is often that, you know, you talked about the fact that we've got this, you know, you kind of just bought things before. It was just like, oh, I just bought the things. We did this, brought the things in. Whereas, typically when we buy from that place, it's very unconscious. It's just like, well, I got the thing, it's fine. That's a table, that's a chair, there's a picture, it's fine. Whereas what I've noticed and witnessed is that when we come into a very conscious and want to consciously create our environment, it's very, very different. So if we've been creating a space from a place of just like, oh, I'm going to get this and this, it's fine, that'll do. It's typically our unconscious that is creating the place. So it can be things that are very much to do with our past, that are reflecting where we were. It can be more of a lack mentality with the purchasing, a little bit of a, there can be, it's much stickier, as opposed to like, I'm going to spend some time looking for something that I absolutely love, that feels really good. And this fits with where I am going in my life. A huge part of the journey that I have worked with is creating your environment to become like a vision board for your future, that it actually reflects where you're going and not where you've been. So it's interesting. I happen to be sitting in this corner tonight because our house is being repainted. So we're always doing little things around the house, and we had a painter this week. So my office, but right behind me is a piano, and we don't play the piano. It was a piano actually from my parents' business. And I just was like, and I used to work there. So this totally reflects my old, like really, really old career. And I'm like, a couple of weeks, I was like, why do we have this piano? Like, neither of us play piano. It's sitting here and it is definitely an anchor to the past and also to a past that wasn't that happy for me. So I'm like, what am I doing with this? And when we talked about it, we both kind of had the discussion about like, oh my God, we're totally just keeping it because it's like, it's nice to, it's very fancy to have a nice piano in your house, like totally ego, like let's keep the piano because it looks flash in your house. But I'm like, oh my God, it is totally anchored. And I'm like, I actually have a sold sign on it. Like someone came the other day and was like, so it's sold. And I'm like, no, it's not sold. It's sold. It is sold. Someone's taking it. I don't know yet. So, you know, but it's like, it was totally unconscious for so long until I kind of went back. We don't live here full time. We live in Greece in the summers and Italy in spring and autumn. So we're just here for a little bit. So it's coming back doing a rejig and I'm like, that has to go. So it's about like this, like we see things again when you're like, wow, I never even connected that. And I'm like, I actually am really excited when this moves. I'm just like, I can't wait to see what unfolds. Like it is our, it's my new beginnings area. Like talk about having something from my past, like a huge, big, heavy piano sitting there. I'm like, this is my new beginnings creativity area. I'm like, I can't wait till that goes. Wait, we'll see what's going to replace it in terms of energetically, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Oh, I love this so much. It's having so many little pieces of conversations come up that I'm like wanting to touch on so much. So this little piece is coming forward so much. And I'm like, ooh, you probably have experience with other clients experiencing the same thing. And I was wondering if you could offer any insight on it. So my dad and my sister are very much the same in a way that so my mom was super meticulous with the way the places that things should go, the way things should be done. Virgo moon, Capricorn rising, like queen. And my dad and sister, a lot of times wouldn't do it right or wouldn't do it the way that she wanted it done. So they were just like, whatever. I just don't even want to do much then because it's never going to be right. So then my dad and sister like to leave things, like my sister calls it having a home. Like she doesn't know where things homes is. So she just likes to leave things on like the counter space or whatever so that she can at least find them easier, but it actually doesn't make it easier for a lot of the things to be found. It's just having everything open and available and then it takes time to sift through it. And I'm really curious, have you had clients like that? And like, what do you associate this to, or like, what are some golden nuggets that you might give to people who are just like, I'd love to have that, but their brain may not be functioning in the way of associating energetics to what their physical space is looking like just yet?
Yeah. So first of all, your home is definitely like a mirror to you. And like you just talked about your mom, like that's her way is that energy. And I have a mom who's very similar, like everything was in their little space. So the thing is, especially with stuff that's just kind of left out, kitchen, like there's a dance between it. For me, I have like, say, moms who come and they're like, oh my God, the playroom is a state, like absolutely, like what am I going to do? I'm like, well, are the kids playing with the toys regularly? Like, is it just a big dump, or is it the things being moved and being used? Because if they are being used, that's okay. Like, I don't classify that as clutter. I don't think that's a problem. I think that's called life. And, you know, we just have to be like, okay, they're using it. It's life. For me, the next point, like on the flip side of that, it's the cupboards or the spaces where you haven't opened the door for a few months and it's the stuff is staying in there. It hasn't been moved, hasn't been touched. It's not being moved. It's not like, yeah, it's just stagnant. It's getting stagnant. So this is where we kind of tap into this energy of flow. And you think, well, if that cupboard, nothing has been touched for 6 months, a year,
it's literally like a little pool of water getting all stinky and disgusting and clogging up the energy. So for your sister, it's a bit like a dance. It's like, is this stuff being used? Like maybe there's a little point where I say to clients, I'm like, okay, you do have to do a little bit of organizing, but it's not like my main thing. Mine is get the energy right. And what's so fascinating with some of this is that if there's certain areas, so I bet you it comes to mind, there's certain areas of your home that things just kind of like gather and you're like, what is going on with that area? No matter how many times you declutter it. So people come to me and they're like, I need to declutter my home like before I feng shui it. And I'm like, got this wrong. It's the other way around because the energy is not right. So if the energy is low, not happy energy, then obviously it's going to start to attract in low vibration. It's just going to get all of this cluttered, congealed in that area. So it's a bit of like chicken and the egg, like declutter, keep an eye. Like obviously that's one of the things it's important to keep the flow in our home moving and things not like stagnating. But at the same time, if there's areas that for me would be another part, like, well, that area is definitely a red flag energetically that could be then reflecting on other parts of our home and our life and how things are playing out. So like in terms of not having everything super organized, I'm not the most organized person. I'm not a total neat person, but I've become more conscientious. I think that's part of the journey, is becoming more conscientious. And when it comes to the feng shui, as you start to learn, you know, for example, her kitchen counter area could be her prosperity. And you're like, well, this is your money area. Like if this is like, look at it. And then that's what really smartens things up for my clients, is then they're like, oh my God, I have to keep this more. And then they become more mindful. So it's a little bit of that, become a bit more conscientious if we find out where it is. And like kitchen counters, like extra things in the kitchen, that's associated, even if it's not your prosperity area, it's associated with prosperity and flow. So you definitely be like, keeping that one clear would be a good idea. So I hope that kind of answers your question, but it doesn't really, but it's more about like, don't get too head up on the places that things are moving regularly. Like yesterday's clothes on the bed or on the chair in your room are okay. It's more if they were there for the last 3 months, I'd be like, okay, there's a problem.
Yes, I love that you mentioned all that, because I'm definitely also a person, I like to see my things around me that I use regularly. And I, you know, see other people have like a super clear space, and I'm like, you know, it's not me. But, you know, it's just one of those things where we have to be aware. And as long as it's consciously moved and used, that's when the energy is still flowing. But when it's not, I definitely have some of those areas when you were just saying, like, that just like, it's almost like it feels like a spiral, like shh, like a pool, like
a little vortex,
like a vortex. Yeah, just pulling things in. We have one next to the fridge that is like this little hidden corner next to the fridge, and just like random stuff just gets there. And I'm like, how is this a full area again? So when that happens, you were saying that something with the energy is off. So what is your advice there where you say, okay, how can we move the energy? So is it something about, we want to look into the whole bagua and kind of see, okay, how can I reorganize the whole area? Or what do you do with those certain vortexes?
So that is depth. So it's like, what I like is like feng shui is almost like an iceberg. So the tip of the iceberg is what I can kind of share with you today. And like on the visual and what's aesthetically we can change. When I see and hear those little areas with the vortex, I'm like, when we do feng shui, we actually do like a natal chart for a house. Yeah. So it's like creating a natal chart for each area, and it tells us what the energies are and then what the cure is that goes into that area to balance it. So it's a little bit different. It's like we create like bespoke natal charts for every home when we work with them. So then I'd be like, well, this is what you need to put into that area. And it's usually one of the five elements. And so I wouldn't be able to tell you right now what it is. And it's not something, it's very similar. Some people would be with them with astrology. You'd be like, well, I'm a Leo, you know? And then they're like, yeah, but no, you're not. You've got all these other things going on as well in your chart, you know? So it's the same with the feng shui. It's like, oh, my house is this, you know, I can feel, it feels like it has good energy. And I'm like, yeah, it might be good, but actually there's definitely other parts that may need a bit of TLC. So that's kind of more about like how feng shui really works. And it's like, kind of, that's like my job is teaching people, going like, it's not just about the aesthetics. Like, it's this deeper stuff. So that's what we do when we analyze our clients' homes and tell them bespoke things. But in the beginning, it's about having awareness of the fact that every part of your home represents a different part of your life, that those little clogged up areas are representing things that are blocked in you as well. So things that may seem blocked. So even just tending to that area will definitely, you know, reap some kind of shifts for you. Just like literally being like, oh, this is interesting. Like, what's going on here? What keeps piling up? And then like being really conscious of it. And then you'll see some little subtle things unfold.
I love that. And when you say we use it, we create a natal chart for our home, you're talking about the map, the Bagua map?
Yeah, but it's actually based on, it's like we run calculations. So it's like we do the Bagua map, but it's also based on the year the house is built, the sitting and facing. So it's a total calc based on the year it's born. So like it is a natal chart, the year it's born, the sitting and facing, you know, all of that.
So
we can analyze it. Yeah.
I love
so
that.
It's yeah. And it's totally something that most people don't really know that that's actually what we do with real, like with real feng shui is actually way deeper than just the surface. And the thing is, the surface stuff feels really good. And it's actually great to do. And I'm always talking to my clients and people about like maintaining that, because it's our experience with the home as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wanted to share a little story about that, because when you talk about, you know, the direction that the house is facing, and, you know, it's so important to become aware of like where the front door is facing and the back door. So what I've learned, and I want to see if that is what you're teaching too, is whatever the front door is in is what energy is coming out, and the back door is what energy is coming into the home and into our lives, therefore. And then the back door is what comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the energy of the front door is the mouth of your house. Yeah. So it's definitely the chi gate, basically. And then the back door, yes. But sometimes, and like if someone's listening, like, I don't have a back door, where does energy go? Like, don't overthink it. Like, it's okay. You're in an apartment. Like, there's windows. Like, the chi isn't going to stay there. It's always moving. So yeah, definitely. And then the front door is one of the places where people are like, where should I start? And I'm like, start at your front door. Like, make sure it feels welcoming, make sure it's inviting, make sure that you get, you know, that there's that, like when you walk to your entrance, it feels nice. We just got our front door repainted today. And it's been one of those things I'm like, I tell people all the time, make sure your front door looks fresh and clean and welcoming, a nice welcome mat that people can find it, the doorbell works, that, you know, that the door is easy to open, all of those little things. It's subtle around our house where we see things that can be impacting us and our energy.
Yes. And the house that we are living in now, the front door is facing west, which is creativity and children. And I have this little cute story that I want to share. So before we moved into this home, we lived into a different place. And I want to say our front door was facing east. And then we found this home because they wanted to sell the house and we decided not to buy it. So we went into another rental, and this home just came to us, you know, divinely guided, and it has the front door facing creativity and children. And I already thought, interesting. So children are coming into our life in this home. And then literally we already signed the lease of the house. And then like, a few days later, I found out that I was pregnant with our first child.
Oh.
And now we have two kids. And this is also the house where I started my business. And my husband has started businesses in this home as well. And so there's a lot you can tell, like the front door, it's like that's literally the energy that came into our lives.
Yeah.
Way.
for sure. And then that could be, it's an active area in your home where there's lots of movement as well at the front door. And it's not, it for me, that there's probably other things going on there as well, but like definitely that's a part of it, that the chi is coming in there and that it's facing that way. Yeah, fun. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to touch on this earlier as well, you know, when we're talking about maybe even like some interior design, finding things that you really consciously want to bring into the home. I have two questions for you. Do you feel like you visualize, like if you go into a client's house and you're really like witnessing it and you notice that there are a lot of shifts that want to happen elementally, and do you start seeing or visualizing specific pieces, or do you start visualizing and seeing like specific elements and then you leave it up to the clients, or do you like to do a lot of the interior design, I guess is the first question.
Yeah, so there isn't any visualizing when it comes to feng shui. Like we do mathematical calculations for the house, so that astrological reading. So it's more like this is why this is happening. So you're having issues with your abundant finances right now, your business isn't growing, or your relationship, or you're single, you want to call in love. This is what hasn't happened yet. This is what we need to do to balance it. So it's very like practical. Like it's less about like the kind of feeling. And we actually do all consultations and all our work virtually. So I haven't been in someone's home for like years now. But it's so fun. Actually, what's been so nice about it moving virtually is that the clients take way more ownership for the practice, like way more ownership for it. And we have a gorgeous community that I talked about earlier, that everyone is really supportive and have done it. So yeah, there's less of that. It's much more about like, kind of think about going to the acupuncturist. You go to the acupuncturist, she's going to just like, or he's going to check your pulse. And that's what I'm doing. I'm checking the pulse. Okay, what's going on? Doing the calculations. This is what needs to go in each area. And it's typically one of the five elements for each area to balance it. And then the aesthetic stuff, I actually don't really, we do like, obviously if our clients will post photos of their bedrooms or kitchens or living rooms and get like advice on different what's going on or how it's set up. And we will give them feedback on like, that's good, or that's, you could improve that in different ways. But we don't typically do interior design advice, as in I don't ever do that. So it's kind of like, come to me if you want your house energy worked. Just like the interior, you wouldn't ask for fashion advice from your acupuncturist, like unless she's really well dressed or he's really well dressed, you know. So that's kind of how, and I think that's also part of it, is that the most people would think that with feng shui, it's about like having like the most beautifully interior designed home and having everything perfect and prim and all of that. And you know, I've done multi-million-dollar mansions that are terrible feng shui, that are interior designed and beautiful. Like you walk in and you're like, wow. And then I'm like, oh, no wonder nobody's happy in this house. Or, you know, no wonder they just like everything is not working, or the family or the business is going bust or whatever. Like it's not the aesthetic. It's more about the energetic.
So fascinating. I feel like this is just pinging on so many different curiosities inside of me. I guess the only other thing that I wanted to say, even though we're so much talking about the energetics here, is just offering the really potentially fun practice of going around to even things like, I don't even know how much yard sales are going on anymore, but even going to consignment shops and really just keeping your eye out for things that really speak to you. In the last house that we had lived at, I was just so pleased that going into it, I thought it was going to be so much more expensive than it was. And I was able to furnish my entire house for under $1,000. And just want to offer that for anyone who is feeling like, oh, I would love a refresh, but maybe finances aren't necessarily there for that. It can be so much even more fun for me just to like, it's almost a challenge going on to either Craigslist or OfferUp or going to different consignment shops in your area and just really giving yourself time and patience to feel into whether there's a texture or a color palette or whatever it is that you are feeling wants to be in that space, to really just let yourself play and see what.
Yeah,
see what
comes for up. Sure. For sure. And, you know, being just really intentional, like I'd prefer you to have blank walls than to put something up that doesn't feel good and feel like from your heart, you know, and especially just being really conscious of what you're bringing in, you know. Consignment stores and all of that, I would definitely be doing good space clearing, a good clearing of it, you know, being like, does this feel like a good fit to bring into my home? Because they're all going to carry their own energies. again, that's that reiteration of like, this isn't about like revamping your whole home or throwing everything out. It's just becoming really conscious of what you have in it. You know, I just spoke to someone earlier and I was just like, just even go through your books and be like, what books are you holding on to? What books do you actually, are you going to read right now? What ones are like about your past or to do with your past, and what ones are about your future, like where you're going, what you want to create, what you want to call in, you know? So like, just there can be simple things that are impacting our consciousness, the same with the artwork, you know. One client was just recently saying, she's like, I have two pieces in my sitting room that I know that I'm ready to let go of, like they were kind of really in my past. And I'm like, well, get rid of them now, like get them off the walls now. We want to make space for this new energy now, and you have to make the space for it.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And so when, for anybody who's like looking to like dive deeper into feng shui, I know for myself, and we're going to dive deeper into how you can help them with it too, but I just know from like just looking on the internet, you read a lot about this is good feng shui, this is bad feng shui. Mm-hmm. Don't have, you know, a mirror in front of the door or the bed facing the door, and just like different pieces like mm-hmm. that. Is that something that you practice too? What is for you? What is like a bad feng shui that is like a no-no, that's like yeah. weak energy? Like, can you share a little bit more about that?
I think that with the good feng shui, bad feng shui kind of really bugs me, because basically we have a lot of, having a mirror facing your front door is not ideal. You know, it's just not ideal. It's sending the chi back out again. But I'm not the feng shui police. I'm not going to tell you to come and take it, to rip it down off your wall. If you love it, it's your home. And then something like bed positions, like that one is a really tough one, because some bedrooms are just designed that the bed goes in one place. And honestly, I am so pragmatic about that. I'm like, don't think you're doomed. There is like a million other things that we can do in your house to feng shui it. Like, the bed is in the wrong place, my feng shui is off and it's bad and I'll never sleep. It's like, no, on my bed in our house is bad, is not in the best location. Like, it's the only place the bed goes. We can't sleep anywhere else. Like, that's just it. I've got a small mirror at the end of my bed where I can lie in my bed and I can see the door. You know, we just have subtle things. So this is where you can just work. We work with what we've got. And that's a really important thing. It's just don't like all of that good, bad. And that's why I run different Facebook groups and different things on my program. Cause I'm like, just come and ask me, because I just hate like that. Like, I've just saw this thing, like the toilet in the wrong place. And I'm like, yeah, but like, you're a kid, like everything else could be great. Like, it's okay, you know? So that's, yeah, thank you for asking that question.
I get the same way with astrology too. It's like, you're doomed if Saturn is in your 10th house. They're like, no,
it's okay. This could be a great thing, you know? And it's like, there's so much, the thing is, our house has so, there's so much opportunities. Like, I just feel like your house is like ripe to activate and to create this amazing thing. And that if you just like blacklist it with like this one thing, like, and I've heard people say, my house is bad feng shui because the stairs is here. And I'm like, no, like, honestly, like, I have hundreds and hundreds of clients around the world. Their stairs are in the same place as yours. It's okay. They're doing great. You know, like, we have other things. Let's just not concentrate the bad. Focus on what we can work with.
Love that. Yes. And for anyone who wants to work with you, Patricia, can you share with us how?
Yeah, sure. So you can come to patricialohan.com, and I'm releasing a new feng shui mini course, which is a walkthrough of my own home. The piano will be there, is in it, but it'll be gone soon. A walkthrough of my home, walking through each of the different rooms. Like, you'll see how this isn't great feng shui, but this is how I've mitigated it. So it's a real step-by-step guide into it. And we uncover a lot of the kind of practical things, the stuff that people, I just want everyone to know about, like, this is what it is. So that's going to be available on my website at patricialohan.com. And I have some more guides about office setup, but checklists and calling in love and money and all the good stuff. So patricialohan.com.
And anyone who wants to work with you one-on-one is also going to be part of that community that you've been talking about, where yes. all the sacred sisters and everybody is coming together and feng shui their yeah. hearts together.
Yes. So that's part of my powerhouse program. And that's a magical journey of transformation, which I don't think people realize when they first are like, oh yeah, I'll just feng shui my house. I feel like I need to change. And then it's like, oh, everything changes. We start with that.
Yeah, I just downloaded one of your guidebooks last night on feng shuiing your office, and I'm really excited to actually go through today after I'm done with this phone call and start moving some stuff around. We want to honor your time. We do have three sacred questions that we ask each and every guest at the end of the interview, and these can be shorter format, whatever's rising to your heart. Are you ready? Okay. What does sacred mean to you?
Sacred means connection to spirit, like as long as we're connected to spirit.
Beautiful. And who is a sacred sister to you? And what does it mean to have a sacred sister?
Who is a sacred sister to me? And what does it mean to have a sacred sister? I have actually a lot of sacred sisters around the world, and I'll just think of one today, Patty. And it just means having like a deeper connection than you could ever imagine with somebody. Yeah. With an amazing woman. Yeah.
So beautiful. And how would you say you turn something mundane into something magical or sacred?
I just love focusing on the thing and being like, oh my God, I like thinking that we are living on Disneyland. Like this world is not Disney, and that everything is like kind of magic. Like even just being on Wi-Fi, or the other day I was having a shower and was like, oh my God, look at these bubbles on the shower gel. Like, have we ever noticed that these bubbles come on the shower gel? So yeah, I just love to find the sacred in everything. When I'm walking, music, listening to music, dancing, our homes. And I think that just comes from just gratitude of this amazing planet that we're on.
Beautiful. So beautiful. Oh my gosh. Patricia Lohan, we want to thank you so much for curating the time to sit with us here at Sacred Sister Podcast. For everyone
thank
that's tuning
so much.
Oh yes. For everyone that's tuning in here at the end of the episode, we want to thank you so much. Sacred Sister Podcast would not exist in the way that it does if it was not for each and every one of you beautiful sacred beings. And without much more, we hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. I have to go.